He slept in his parents' bedroom until he was 13. He wet the bed until he was 14. He doesn't know how to ride a bike. Apparently, he has friends. Welcome to Socially Awkward with Evan Wexell.
Wexell.
Welcome to Socially Awkward with Evan Wexell. I'm Evan Wexell. We are at Awkward with Evan on Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok. We are talking to another Facebook friend today, but of course, rate, subscribe, and like, and review, and share, and all this stuff with the podcast. All episodes at awkwardwithevan.com, and check out the Awkward with Evan merch on the Spring store, as well as through funnyforevertees.com. So here is my guest, my Facebook friend. For this episode, we got in touch around 2021. I'd read her stuff. She's a journalist, and she's now editor-in-chief of the California Globe. Her name is Katie Grimes, and we get to wax poetic about all the woes of California on this episode. And, you know, we dig in, and we give it a pretty impartial perspective. And but we're talking about things that, you know, usually when I'm submitting episodes, that YouTube wants to know if there's any controversial issues. We're talking about controversial issues on this one. We're gonna be talking about like homelessness and abortion and journalism and sources, but we're also gonna talk about comedy. We'll talk about Carol Burnett Show, and we'll even talk about The Office, because I feel like she looks a lot like Amy Ryan, aka Holly Flax from The Office, and we'll see if she admits that or not. But I'm now going to send her photos of Amy Ryan whenever we interact. But that's weird enough. So let's get into my interview with Katie Grimes, journalist, writer, investigator, superstar. Thanks so long. Welcome to Social Awkward with Evan Wexell. I'm Evan Wexell, and I interview a Facebook friend every episode. And I have an actual legitimate person, like a professional, a journalist. She has sources. Maybe one day I'll be one of her sources. I bring on the editor of the California Globe, Katie Grimes.
Hi, Evan.
Hi.
Thanks.
Is Katie Grimes your journalist name, or is it more of like that's your brand, or is that your birth?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a porn star name, so I'm stuck with it. Katie Grimes is it.
Oh, that's a great name. Now, I think for everyone wondering, we all loved you on The Office. I think whenever you came on screen with Steve Carell, we all legitimately enjoyed you on screen. We loved your character work. So here, I'll give you the max here. Possibly Holly from The Office. Do you get this a lot?
I don't. I'm surprised. Thank you. But
have you seen the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Because I feel like I'm going to be cutting up this episode and I'm going to feed it through AI. And they always like to make a clip of me introducing the guest. And I think we'll get a lot of good like Office views from me cutting that up, getting some extra views. And maybe Rainn Wilson will then want to be our sources.
Yeah. There
anyway,
you go.
So you're back. I guess I chose to talk with you because you're the one of the only journalists I've ever spoken to, but also you know, it's a quiet time now. So I figure, you know, while everything's all chilled out in the world and in politics, yeah, it's a good time to have Katie on and just talk. So first, you are editor in chief of California Globe. Tell us a little bit about that if you came up with like founding that, or you just been there for a while.
No, I was actually hired by the owners to run the California Globe. There are several other globes around the country. There's a New Jersey Globe, there's a Nevada Globe, there's an Arizona Globe, and they all cover news as the way we do.
Okay.
And then there's a Fine Art Globe and a Rock and Roll Globe, and there was a Wine and Whiskey Globe. Anyway, all kinds of fun globes. Yeah. I run California Globe. And what we do is we focus almost solely on State House politics, which really has been lacking in news in general.
Right.
I can tell you just from the Capitol, the number of reporters traipsing around the Capitol doesn't even fill the desks in the assembly anymore. So it's super, super important.
So there's more of a So there's, I mean, there's less journalists covering state politics now.
Yes.
Cause is it because everyone's just like sucked into the national scene, or is it just not as lucrative, or
all of the above? It's new, you know, when was the last time you read a newspaper?
Right.
That's a big problem. So there aren't that many real newsrooms around anymore.
Right.
You know, I know I live in Sacramento, and the Sacramento Bee is a shadow of its former self. It looks like an old community newspaper now. I think that's a huge part of it. You know, between online news and loss of advertising. And I also think with the onset of not just cable news, but also alternative news sources,
okay. It
really has kind of, it's hurt the traditional news, but it's also exposed who they really are.
Yeah.
And people are choosing not to read them.
How do you then make people want to read the Globe? Like if state politics is not as interesting, or like, do you sneak in national headlines? Are there other certain ways to hook the readers? What's the Globe been doing?
Well, in California, we live in a target-rich environment, as you know, and we call it Crazy-fornia for a reason.
I hear Commie-fornia more, but each their own, you know?
That too. Yeah. Sometimes the headlines write themselves.
Right.
And frankly, you know, we live in a one-party state now. It's a Democrat supermajority. So, you know, what we cover from the Capitol is pretty much, you know, what the Democrats are doing in this state. And and it's really not a pretty place to be right now.
Is there like a, you think, an inflection point in how California's run, even in like the type of politicians that get elected? Or do you think for the foreseeable future, it's always going to be 2/3, 70% Democrats being elected to make decisions?
I think anything can happen. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of pain to get to that place.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see it with inflation, we could talk for 5 hours about inflation. Everybody knows what that means at the pump, at the grocery store, you know, I mean, everything, tuition, restaurants, you name it. Yeah. So that is economics, I think, really is at the root of what will cause people to change.
Okay.
And we're quickly going downhill in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from New York, and I think, you know, in recent years, like Long Island specifically, I think we just kind of go the way of the wind. Cause I mean, in 2022, like I'm from the same district that elected George Santos, and we were like a thoroughly, you know, it's a thoroughly blue region, but I think since 2020 to 2022, you know, all the families or the dads and the moms like, you know what, screw this. We're going to give them a red wave. And it's kind of amazing that happened.
Yeah.
But then of course, once Santos was kicked out, you know, when it came time for who are we going to elect, then they're like, okay, screw you, had your chance. Now we're getting Tom Suozzi, and who used to be the head of my Nassau County where I'm from.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be, and you know, he says the right things. I feel like there's still some like moderate Democrats in the New York area, but California, I mean, it's a tough region to hack, because just when you think, you know, okay, is this the time? And they're like, nope, because I guess so much of the state is so much of the state concentrated in LA and San Francisco. Is that just
what you're running into? That's a huge problem. Although San Francisco is quickly losing voters. It's LA, San Diego, San Francisco, Sacramento, Fresno, you know, the bigger cities do have a concentration of voters, as well as members of the assembly and Senate. So, it's the rural votes tend to be, you know, far more common sense type votes. Also the leave me alone type of votes, get government out of my life. We're such a dichotomy. Plus, California is the size of like five states.
Right.
So that makes it really difficult. You know, Northern California and Southern California could be two different states and still be huge. Remember the initiative to break it up? First, there was like, break it up into three states, break it up into six states.
I've seen the maps. Because I mean, if you look at it geographically, I mean, we don't look that lopsided. But when you look at where the areas that are blue, it's like, oh, it's 10 million people. So
right. There you go. Yep.
what are like the recent headlines in the state that we're coming up against? Is it Prop 47 about making retail theft more severe punishment? I think it used to be, you know, just take all you want as long as it's under $1,000
every day. Yeah. Prop 47 is a huge issue right now. And so we know there are some facts that have, you know, solidified in the 10 years since Prop 47 was passed by voters. Voters were tricked into passing this initiative also. It was called the Safe Streets and Neighborhood or Safe Streets and Schools Act or Safe Streets and Neighborhoods Act. Anyway, the title was like, oh, why wouldn't I vote for that? It did the exact opposite.
Yeah, it's like, I think that's just a rule. Like, whatever a law has a name, you know, it does the opposite. Like the Patriot Act. Affordable Health Care Act.
Right. Like, exactly.
All that stuff. It's like the worst names ever. But they gotta have a name on it because, you know, you probably won't have a website, a good domain name to host the law.
Exactly.
And share the information about it and get followers.
But Prop 47 did give us in the 10 years an increase in homelessness by 51%.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. So it doubled our crime, you know, theft was pretty much decriminalized. Felony drug use was bumped down to misdemeanor. Right. So that when you look at the zombie apocalypse living on the streets, that is the result of Prop 47, as well as all these little store owners closing their businesses.
Right.
You know, nobody can make it right now with this serial theft issue. So that's going to be hopefully on the ballot in November to pretty much make enough amendments to it that it will shore things up again and kind of usher back in three strikes.
And how are politicians like, I mean, a lot of what I read comes from Kevin Kiley, who, luckily has let me perform in front of him while he was talking to potential voters, which was me being a distraction, but still.
That's good.
Like, why would officials be like, why would they not want to end this proposition? Like, don't they see it? Do they want to just like fix it their own inferior way? Like Lorena Gonzalez with AB5, like, no, I'm going to fix it with my makeup law, but only going to help like niche people. Like, what is it about supporters of that proposition though?
It's fascinating what's going on right now. Supporters of that proposition are still in denial about the S-hole state we've become because of it and lawlessness. You know, at the same time, cities and counties were kind of defanging their police through the Defund the Police movement. So it was kind of a perfect storm. What's interesting is that Democrats still don't want this on the ballot. So we now have this flurry of bills in the state legislature they claim, we don't need this proposition on the ballot. We can fix it through legislation. But they've had 10 years to do that.
Right.
And every time a Republican like Kevin Kiley brought a bill forward to overturn the worst parts of Prop 47, the Democrats killed it immediately. So we've got some pretty big lies going on right now.
So I guess you pretty much need just people to hold it, wear a D and be a mole. Is that the only way really to get changed? That was what was asked of me. We met because I ran for office in 2020 and someone was like, you know what, just hang a D on it. And I'm like, really? Yeah.
I know. Yeah, you want to be your true self.
True.
And in this state anymore, I think that's why we have this class of independence and no party preference growing so much, because people are tired of being labeled either way.
Yeah. Do you get to cover Governor Newsom a lot over the years? Have you ever been able like to pose a question to him or anything like that? Oh, did that come through?
No, sorry.
Oh, I asked if you ever, it was a little bit of freeze. I asked him, have you ever had a chance to ask a question of Governor Newsom during one of his press conferences or?
Never.
Is it just like an accessibility issue or just not, not like really part of what you do?
Oh, no. Believe me, for the longest time, it was a part of what I did. I was, barely allowed into his press conferences.
Yeah.
Because I'm the only right of center type of reporter actually reporting on what's going on. What's interesting too, I do delineate, people call me a conservative reporter and I'm not.
Right.
I may be a conservative person, But our job at the Globe is just to provide you the actual truth of what's happening in the Capitol. So, yes. And the truth is not popular with Governor Newsom. So, no, I don't get to ask the governor any questions. Even during COVID, when everything was online and I was sitting on my stupid Zoom press conference.
You couldn't even put a D in your name in Zoom. Like, I'm a D.
It's never going to happen.
Okay. Where do you see his arc? I guess he's probably someone you've probably investigated and you probably had, you know, sources of over the years. Do you see him like he carries out the rest of his term and then just passes it off to a minion to take over from there? Is that where leadership for the state is going, you think?
Yeah, boy, right now, I don't know. Because the folks that are throwing their names in the hat for governor are, they should chill your insides.
Because he's going to term out, is that right, in 2 years?
Right, he has his sights set on the Oval Office, we know that.
Yeah, so he can debate DeSantis for real in 4 years.
Exactly, really. Yeah. But what I've said lately about our legislature and the people, you know, the leadership, the people running everything, it's not California's best and brightest.
Right.
It's pretty sad.
Have you come across any good ideas of like how to strike encampments or curb homelessness? I won't say end homelessness. Yeah. I guess you can really end it, but you know, we're like the homeless paradise of the country. Cause I guess I think we have half the country, country's homelessness is in California. Cause I have noticed COVID
Exactly. Yeah. No, we have half the country's the homeless living in our state. And we also have probably more than one third at this point now of people in poverty in California. Right. The biggest welfare system is in California. So yeah, we're a disaster.
Right.
It can't last forever. But as far as the homeless resolutions for it, there are many models of how to deal with these people. Obviously, one is getting Proposition 47 overturned and kind of getting laws back in place. But the other thing is there's this Haven for Hope organization in San Antonio, Texas, and they have been very, very successfully for years. They bring the homeless off the street. They triage them. They figure out what the issues are. Are you a drug addict? Are you mentally ill? Were you really just one paycheck away from being on the street? Right. And then they address those particular issues. But they do it honestly. Our state, as you just saw in the news that last week, we just blew through $24 billion and only have more homeless. So our politicians looked at it as a money-making opportunity and a way to enrich NGOs and family nonprofits.
Yeah, it's always weird. Like when they say the stat of each homeless person is cost $700,000 or something like that. It's because the model is like you put them in a hotel room and the hotels can't really dispute this. They're like, okay.
Right. Sure. They were taken over. I think it kind of depends on what we're building, you know, like if we've taken over a hotel and we're renovating the rooms, like that happened in several California or Sacramento hotels. Mm-hmm. They were renovated at the cost of like $600,000 per room.
It's the most golden toilets they've ever had.
Exactly. So, you know, again, that's enriching the contractor, the developers, you know, it's not been done with any level of honesty the way, say, this Haven for Hope in San Antonio does.
Yeah, I mean, during the recall election, there was the independent journalist Michael Schellenberger.
Yes.
And one of his initiatives was, once I'm elected, we declare like a state of emergency regarding homelessness.
Yeah.
And it's like FEMA. They come in. Like it's, you know, and like China's about to visit you for the weekend.
Seriously.
What's going to happen. And it is a lot of like reassociating with family and, you know, drugs.
Yeah. You see if there's right. What we've found out even just in Sacramento is that the majority of the people living on the streets here are not from Sacramento. They've come from somewhere else, but we have so many freebies available to them. A lot of them get a Social Security check or a disability payment. It may not be a lot of money, but it goes toward drugs. And there's just this tolerance level here.
And there's a way, like, based on how people get into the country, that counts towards House of Representative representation. Is that true? Where, like, though, like, there's people migrating from California, they're still, like, getting it from coming over any border to make up the difference.
Yeah. And the next census, I think our governor is hoping to see that congressional seat we lost come back.
Yeah. That just seems kind of odd. Like, you can't, how could you even keep track of something like that? In Los Angeles, like, I mean, we have a lovely bigoted mayor, but she, like, on her first day, Karen Bass, she declared it's like city state of emergency for homelessness, but like, I didn't see that more as just like a label.
It's just
like
a
Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, it's a license to spend more money is all it is. And obviously money's not working. You know, the programs that work. And here in Sacramento, we have the Union Gospel Mission. We have a woman's shelter called the St. John Center for Real Change. There are rules. When you are, you know, when you are plucked off the street and you really want to change, there are rules you have to live by. And that's the one thing Governor Newsom and these various big city mayors refuse to do. They only open low barrier shelters, which means do your drugs, bring in the dealers, and bring your pit bull too.
Yes, like, people need to self-medicate. That's how they get through
it. Exactly.
So, and I guess they don't really have an end game. I think they just want to see things go down and feel like they're going to save it, I guess. And then
they're going to walk away. Yeah, they're all going to walk away at some point, and it'll be on the next schmoes.
Next. I don't even know the names in 2 years that we're going to deal with, but I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. Well, when we get there, we get there. It's a rough go. Like, just seeing when there's a general, you know, people are like, with the recall election, that's how I got involved a lot with politics, regardless, and how we made that happen. And I know there's currently a recall. I guess it's live now. They're trying to do it all. If the money's there, great. I mean, I just think people are like, no, let's wait till the regular election. Then the regular election comes around, and it's like, maybe there is a good second option, but then there's like just enough Republicans to make sure the second person's a Republican. And then it's like, cause I don't know, like, what's your thoughts on, I know it's national, like Steve Garvey, I guess he won out in the primary.
Yeah.
But when you add all the percentages of the three D's around him, November is probably more predictable than it seems.
Yeah. Certainly just looking at the numbers, but again, that's assuming that the voters want to elect Adam Schiff.
You'll see in my song. No, it's not Adam Schiff didn't make the song, but go ahead. Yeah.
I do think there's a tremendous distaste for Adam Schiff. So I don't know how that's going to factor. And I also think what's interesting is, since Steve Garvey's new to politics, he might get some of those votes. Like, he's not a political animal. People don't know a lot about him, but he sounds like this pretty rational guy who's talking very common sense, and Adam Schiff does not. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in that. I don't know.
If he shows up in a Dodger uniform for every event, I think they'll get Fernando Valenzuela to speak on his behalf.
And then I like it.
Or Oral Hershiser, bring back all the Dodgers. The descendants of Tommy Lasorda will be on his staff.
Perfect.
And then he'll get all the old school Dodger fans, but he'll definitely say no gambling allowed, because it doesn't work for Otani and his interpreter these days.
Yeah. No kidding.
where are you actually, your sports lie? Are you Northern California for sports?
Or not sports? Well, yeah, you will find I am just probably not the biggest sports person. I grew up with a dad who loved the 49ers, even though he's from the East Coast.
Right.
So yeah, 49ers were kind of always our thing. Other than that, I'm really not a big Sacramento Kings fan.
Yeah.
Mainly because for me, it's political.
Because of the cities.
The city used public funds to build a behemoth stadium right in downtown.
Okay. They
killed all the businesses around it.
Ooh,
Yeah.
So usually when we build cities, I mean, there's like a New York, I think in New York, they're planning to do like a new, usually you want to build, or I was just in Georgia. You see like there's where the Braves play, but then there's like a whole like boardwalk or there's like a whole neighborhood of like
shops and
entertainment. So you can't really have like something on its own unless it's like in Philadelphia, you have like all the arenas in the same area, but you know, you got to kind of make it a package deal. I think that's going to attract non-sports fans to projects like that. So you're not going to miss the Oakland A's when the Oakland A's are going to, you're gaining the Oakland A's for a couple of years.
Yeah. It looks like we're getting them
in a minor league park.
Yeah. We really do love our the River Cats. So, I don't know how that's going to play out.
Well, we'll have to alternate.
I know.
Yeah. Someone's always have to play during the day.
That's always fun in the July heat.
Yes. Now, as a legitimate, this is maybe a goofy question, but as a legitimate journalist, so the idea, the dynamics of journalism is you hunt with a journalist and their sources. Do you hunt for a source or do the sources come to you? Like, it seems like a nice little, you know, kind of like behind the scenes operation that no one likes to talk about. Like, even if like I'm reading something from ESPN where it's like someone in the New York Jets organization says that Aaron Rodgers is a goofball or, you know, like and you never reveal it, but do you find that like, are all your sources valid? Do you have to like vet when you find out information for stories? Like what are the mechanics? And like, I feel like you could do like a nice little like self-help course on this for like beginner journalists. Like how do you approach that connection?
Well, you accumulate sources just by being present. So in the Capitol, over the years, I've gotten a lot of sources and I've lost a lot of sources when people have moved on to other jobs.
Okay.
In that situation, and politics are unique nobody wants to give their name. Of course. They get fired. So, you know, for leaking something that's going on inside the Capitol, especially if it's salacious, you know, that's really good stuff. But if it's just, you know, political gamesmanship or dirty dealing or that kind of stuff, of course they're not going to give their name.
Right.
I have to know who it is. And that's
for you.
I have to know there's a live person there. This is not made up. If a freelancer sends me an article with a fantastic quote, but, you know, asked not to have their name revealed, I certainly need to have a quick discussion about, you know, who is this and how did you find them? And so, I mean, there's got to be a legitimacy factor there for sure. I don't like using anonymous sources, but sometimes you just have to.
Because you know that in the end, it is valid. You just like, you know, you hate, but it's like, do you feel like there's like a greater good calling? Like I got to publish this story because in the end, you know, it's a wake up call for who's reading it.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we try to do if somebody can't give their name is we will say, you know, blah, 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 said, you know, a Capitol source who, you know, needs anonymity, you know, due to the fact they'll get fired if they don't have it. Yeah.
You can't even like a Capitol source with a lovely power suit and fresh haircut said, yes, it's all a wig. Newsom's really bald.
But there you go.
That's the new one.
Yeah.
It's all just a stick on. Cool. So, okay. You did a lovely article on me. I'll have to put the link in the notes of when I was running. Cause I feel like the official recall song for the governor. All right. We're going to get back to my talk with Katie, and we're even going to watch my new song together, Radical Left Republican Dad. We're going to hear that. And, then we're going to talk about some fun stuff. But you can support this podcast by going to patreon.com/funnyevan for as little as $1 a month. You can help this podcast fly. Or if you don't want to help it fly and you just want to wear things that remind you of the podcast, you can go to funnyforevertees.com. And there you can use promo codes to get free shipping, 10% off. But there's all kinds of shirts and sweatshirts and pillows, even a shower curtain. So who wouldn't want that? So go to funnyforevertees.com for all your random merch awkward needs. And without further ado, back to Katie Grimes. But I wanted us to do, I want to try to do like a watch along. where you can, and you can comment. I can even say true or false after every line. It's about national politics.
Okay.
Because half of what I talk about, whoops, I gave it away. I want to get this. Okay. So this is here.
Okay.
We're going to set this up. No, I don't want that to be, we're going to be here. The video's here.
Okay.
And this is, I guess I'll give the title away. This, and this is us. If you, I don't know if this stuff, some of this stuff translates to state politics, I guess. But let's give a shot. This is my new song, and I've totally imposed by making this like 4 minutes of our interview. But this is called Radical Left Republican Dad, inspired by my dad.
Yeah.
Possibly a real dad, but you'll see, it's in the video. And I'm gonna try to lower the volume on this a little so that we can at least talk over it like it's a DVD bonus feature. Okay, let's see.
Oh, gotcha.
Let's see if we can do this.
Something that I've never seen before.
The song could be about anything.
Can't wait for what November has in store.
Okay, I know where this is going now.
I can wait.
I'm not sure whether to laugh or get mad. I have a radical left Republican dad. Never donate to the poor.
Great thumbnail.
Thinks there are two genders, but isn't sure.
Aren't there?
I'll tell you about that line after.
Makes sense. But still has feelings for Mike Pence.
They didn't want to have copyright issues.
When he some doppelgangers. Asks for money, he sends nothing back.
Very true.
It's my radical left Republican dad. Mention Trump, he'll go insane.
Another trial starting today.
He just wired his pension to Ukraine.
If he knew how to use the iPad to do that.
Traded in Fox News for The View.
No.
Has a crush on Rachel Maddow. You do you.
That one's true.
Thinks plant-based meat is really strange.
Could have cut these two lines out.
Attributes everything in life to climate
change. Gotta have climate change in this moment.
Oh, gotta have climate change.
No gay friends, but has a rainbow flag. It's my radical left Republican dad.
So,
oh, you'll see.
Counter to his Fauci gang. Someone who knows what's really going on. I have a far-right liberal mom. I have a far-right liberal mom. She knows what's really going on. Kicked off Twitter. Back on X with Hollywood and Pharma, she's not impressed. Says the news is always wrong.
California Globe is right.
Nickname QO Mom. No, she's right, but can't relax. Don't get her started on the vax. Her patience with my dad is long gone. It's my far-right liberal mom. Loves war and will vote by mail forevermore. My radical left Republican dad, one part Joe Biden, the other Lindsey Graham, thinks that free speech is a scam. No gas car sounds like a plan. Afraid he's racist if he gets a tan. Lives by three words: orange man bad. My radical left, my radical left.
Any differences? They're still Oh, yeah, and I have merch on it. That's enough of that.
That's great. Does he like the Lincoln Project?
He, I could have mentioned that. He listened to it. I wanted to get his permission, so I got his permission.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm not radical left. And my mom's even like, I'm not radical left. He's not radical left. He's like,
it fits the song. So
it fits the song perfect. I just think it's that whole switcheroo of politics these days.
Do they cancel each other's votes out?
Yeah, my mom also doesn't like Trump a lot. Like, my mom's stuff is like probably 0% accurate. I just needed the opposite.
I love it.
I like the gender line because I think it's pro LGBTQIA plus because it's showing that this like older Republican. Hold on a second. Let me see. So I just think it's interesting.
Yeah.
I always stay away from that stuff because that's one. So in comedy, I won't go there. I just think, you report, we want to report. And, sometimes I'll be like, if I see something, say like that the Babylon Bee does, I'll be like, okay, that I can see the comedy in that.
Right.
But it's not coming from me. Yeah. Or either way. But
yeah. I get it. Yeah. There's just certain topics you kind of go,
yeah,
too toxic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna go there, but I just thought that my whole life built towards that song.
I agree. I like it.
And I could have done myself performing it, but either way, I think that should be the theme of the election. It has like 125,000 views on X so far, and
oh good,
we'll see. So we'll see.
I love
as a journalist, do you have any questions for me about the song or anything you want an inside tip on?
Oh,
or for a headline.
Yeah.
Should we come up with fake headlines and see if they're true?
Oh,
no.
I know. We should do that another day.
Okay.
Because
I know you probably have to, you probably have like three different sources now that are trying to get a hold of you.
No, I'm good. I'm good for the moment. No.
Good. Then what do you have a favorite Office episode from watching the show?
I don't know. You're going to laugh at me.
Okay.
I laugh at every one of those shows. So for me, they kind of all just blend together. Mm-hmm. I'm like the person you want at a comedy show because I will laugh at everything.
Oh.
I know.
I needed you for my bringer 20 years ago.
It's so funny. Yeah, it's just like, I know I'm in the moment and I want to laugh and I'm there and so I do.
Who are your favorite comedians?
Oh gosh. What's that guy's name? I see, this is my problem. I never remember names either. Hughes.
Hughes? The only Hughes I know is John Hughes, the old director.
I'm worthless that way. Okay. I'll remember like at 3 a.m.
Okay.
I do like Roseanne Barr. She's a very funny girl.
Oh yeah, she's had some good specials. She was actually in The Office because we're watching season 9. We're in the last season. We have like 3 or 4 episodes left. So she's like Ed Helms' acting agent. In the last season, it's fun.
I love it. You know how pathetic we are too. TV sucks so badly these days that we're rewatching old stuff too. Last night we're flipping through the channels and the Carol Burnett Show came.
Wow,
it was hilarious.
I gave my wife DVDs for Carol Burnett like 10 years ago.
Years ago, I gave my husband like the 25-year anniversary of Johnny Carson. Oh, that was fun.
Yeah, I just actually did exactly what you said. From let's say January to March, I watched the entire season series of Highway to Heaven.
Oh my gosh! Landon. Yes.
Because I vaguely remember, and I was like 9. I maybe from watching it again, I saw maybe some of the stuff in the last season. I remember vaguely, but. Something about him hooked me in the pilot.
Wow.
Just like, cause he's very like, you know, whatever you want to say, he's very like, he doesn't like stress out if someone's stubborn, but then there'll be times later on in the series where he's like telling people exactly what their problem is.
Yeah.
And like, you got to get out of your own way. And
oh, that's so funny.
And then Victor French around him, like as this weird grizzly guy that he, like,
yeah.
He recast and changed his whole career. And it just, I was like watching, cause like they got canceled and then Victor French died. And then a few years later he died. And it was,
yeah, just, man, that's right.
But yeah, that was a good, I just like the premise of that show. Yeah, I felt it wrapped up a little, each episode wrapped up a little too quickly.
Yeah. But TV kind of did that too. Back. Yeah. You know, they liked wrapping things up instead of holding you over to the next week.
Yeah. And yeah, I just thought it kind of very simple. And there were some actors there, like Matthew Perry was in an episode. Helen Hunt was in an episode.
Oh my God.
And these are like, and some back actually like when the they day. Were like, under 10 years old.
Yeah.
Like child actors. Like I know Giovanni Ribisi. He's someone who's like, he was like a child cancer patient when he was like 8 years old in the show.
And oh my gosh. Stuff.
Yeah. So they're cool things to dig back in. Yeah. I like to share clips also of Married with Children. I don't know if you're a fan of that show. Oh, there's that,
hilarious.
There's an Instagram. I always share like Al Bundy clips. That's because I realize like now I'm older than him when he was on that show. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's the greatest show ever.
I know. Yeah. We were watching the start of the Carol Burnett show the other night, episode one, and she says something about President
Gerald Johnson. Ford.
No
way. Okay.
And I went, what? So we were watching an episode from 1967.
That's crazy.
I know. I felt very.
But weird. I remember watching that show because there was like Harvey Korman, yeah.
Right.
Tim Conway.
Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah. So then she had her spinoff Mama. Yeah. Hey Mama was something like that.
Oh God. That was so bad.
Tim Conway was on Married with Children as Peggy Bundy's father. I think like a
hilarious kind guy.
Of, yes. Yes. Yeah.
Always funny.
Do you have favorite shows then of all time? What if you could watch it again, what would it be?
I love Hercule Poirot when what? David Suchet played him. Yeah, I love the Agatha Christie character on PBS. Hercule Poirot. I love the little French. He always got called the little Frenchman, but he was actually Belgian.
Oh, I think my dad watched that.
Yeah.
I think I know he had like the little twirly mustache.
Yes, yes.
With the, he was very the music in the back. Not Masterpiece Theater. That was something else.
No, it was just, I think it was just PBS.
Okay. Did you like the McNeil Lehrer NewsHour?
No.
Okay. Jim Lehrer spoke at my college graduation, but.
Really?
He showed out by saying this like long thing about his schedule and being on a train and it wowed the crowd. But, it's commencement season. So you always like to see who's.
Oh, yeah.
It's a busy time for schools to fork over. With five-figure, six-figure speaking engagements.
God, no kidding.
Where I'm like, just give me a robe. I'm good. I'll tell them what
I know. Give me the paper and the robe and I'm out of here.
Everything is a lie, graduates. Run. Go.
Yeah,
not to Canada. That's worse there, but still. Find a nice island in the Caribbean. Low expense. Grenada. I looked it up yesterday. Grenada is the cheapest place to live the Caribbean.
Oh, not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was looking at it just out of curiosity, but we're here. We're probably going to be here. We were having a toe in maybe Florida or Georgia, but we're here. We're here to read the California Globe from here on out.
It's such exciting reading. I know
it is. I think it's well-written. I know you've covered a variety of topics and there's no sports section, but that's okay. It's all right. Politics is sports.
Yeah. I would probably write the politics of sports anyway. So
you could probably create a politics, like if sports gambling is so big right now, there's gotta be like some kind of prop bets you could do in politics. Like yeah, I'm going to have a prop that like this law will go to committee and the over under is 8 votes for it. What do you think? $40 says,
it's not as much fun as a drinking game though. during a Newsom speech or a debate or something like that. Drinking.
What
game.
What would be every time he does what? Would you take a sip?
Period. Full stop.
I liked when I interviewed Kevin Kiley and one of the last things I said to him was like, Kevin Kiley, you met the moment. And at that moment, his face contorted and he's like, I can't believe you said that to me. Because I was talking to him about his Recall Newsom book and I'm like, you should have gotten Newsom to write you the forward. I mean, it would have only been right, but
I
was trolling him a little bit in the interview.
Well, Kevin Kiley fortunately has a good sense of humor.
Right. And I think he's going to hold his seat. I think, is it looking that way or is it going to be kind of tough?
I'm sure he will. Yeah.
Okay. Because he has he's against a Newsom staff member. I forgot her name, but she's
Jessica Morse
to run against. Jessica Morse is excited to run against.
Yeah. She ran against Tom McClintock a couple of years ago. Now she's going after Kevin Kiley.
Yeah.
He can run circles around her.
Okay. Yeah, he could. I mean, I think getting elected is like half the battle for staying elected, I think, because it's 2 years of you promoting yourself and what you can do.
Yeah.
Which is kind of why it's hard to kind of vote out the incumbent unless, you know, you're something of note or there's some great catastrophe that happens in the world that everything must change.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Well, I feel like California is pretty close to that. I'm finishing an article right now about the rich states, poor states report that comes out every year. And California's number 47.
Oh my gosh. Who are we ahead of?
New York.
Yeah. Oh no.
I think Vermont.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vermont's a weird, I can't get ahead on Vermont. It's
a weird one.
It's just like the crunchy capital of the world. Is it just
Well, didn't
Bernie land?
Isn't Bernie Sanders like the epitome of Vermont?
I guess so.
Yeah. It's too bad. But again, you know, Vermont, interesting state, beautiful state. California, interesting state, beautiful state. What is it with the left when they come in and ruin it?
Right. I would like to see what is your take since, you know, RFK, I'll just say I'm probably going to support RFK Jr. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see how I wouldn't. What do you think he's doing to the race? And what do you think he's doing to like politics? You think it's going to have like effects on future political races and people like, cause we've had independents kind of like trickling out, whether it was Tulsi Gabbard, not necessarily like, I mean, it seems like most of them are leaving the Democrat Party, but you know, just, I think more people in general just kind of want to have the freedom. What do you think like RFK will do effect wise, even if, you know, say he doesn't win. I mean, I could actually see him winning. It would just require him to win the states, but still.
Right.
I would like to see him on a debate stage, but
I would like to see him debate. I think he's an important disruptor right now. You know, he started the race kind of along the lines of, frankly, the way, you know, Ronald Reagan said he left the Democrat Party. I didn't leave the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party left me. Right. And RFK, you know, came out of the gate with that. RFK Jr., excuse me. And there's a lot of policies of his that I really disagree with, but I do think that he is a rational human being. I do, you know, unlike our current White House occupant, who I don't think is rational at all, nor do I think much of his administration is. So, I mean, I think RFK is a serious candidate, and that's really what America wants, is a serious candidate. Mm-hmm. So and I think he's going to take someone who's
and he's actively campaigning.
Yes, like, he is. Yeah.
Right.
He's serious. And I think he'll take votes away from Biden. I really don't think there's going to be many votes taken from the Trump camp.
Had you known much about Nicole Shanahan before she was announced?
Not a peep.
Yeah.
Nope.
She just started talking on like Twitter again.
Yeah.
I will say, oh, this is what I want to ask you. She gave, I want to look it up. It's like the most poignant perspective on abortion that acknowledges both sides and doesn't really give her viewpoint. Just like you have to have like nuance.
Yeah, it's a tough topic. If she can do it with nuance, then so be it. I think it shows you that people from all walks of life find the issue abhorrent.
Right.
Especially anybody who's had kids or, you know, it's a horrible thing to talk about. And I think what is even more horrible than that is that it is a major campaign issue.
Right.
On the left. And I just find it ghoulish.
So here's what I don't get. Cause like it's being presented like, and promoted like it's the quintessential, and I might be an idiot as a guy talking about this, but it's like the quintessential way of establishing who like being a woman is having an abortion. Now just for the women out there, or maybe as a representative of women, are there more important rights in your life than abortion?
Yeah. Yes. Just about every other one of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I still think it should, I personally think it's still, obviously it's a medical option. Everyone does, it's private, perfect, you know, medical. I'm all for,
yeah.
Cause that's what the pickle my family's in right now regarding medical mandates and whatnot. So
yeah,
I think bans are silly, but you know,
but what fascinates me about kind of the dichotomy of the topic is we are a society that will go to every medical end to save premature babies.
Sure.
Right. We have neonatology units that save these babies and do everything they can. And in the same hospital, you can get an abortion and kill the baby.
Jesus.
So riddle me that.
I don't want to. No,
me either. But the other thing is, we're moving in some dangerous places. You know, these are the same people that are talking about physician assisted suicide.
Yeah.
These are really kind of scary things.
It's like a Dr. Kevorkian. Yes. Oh, here's her. So this is her. Here's her. Shanahan's tweet. Mm-hmm. Oh, I could even, you know what? I could even share that. Let me see if I can share this. If not, I can share. Yeah, here. I'm going to share the screen.
Okay.
So here's what it says here. And I don't know why those things appear on my right column, but either way. So here's her and her baby. She says, people are asking about my views on abortion. I will speak personally as a mom and a person with a womb. I don't like the feeling of anyone having control over my body. It is coercive. It is wrong, mm-hmm. but I am also a woman that would not feel right terminating a viable life living inside of me, especially if I'm both healthy and that baby is healthy.
Yeah.
I can hold both beliefs as someone who believes in the sacredness of life simultaneously. And then obviously she gets into extenuating circumstances, but you know, she loves being a mom and there it is.
Yeah, so, that'll change your perspective typically.
Yep.
As a female. I totally agree. As a matter of fact, I recently wrote an article and then also, you know, kind of tweeted that Joe Biden's just come out with an ad campaign, you know, that he believes abortion should be all the way up through the third trimester. And he's going to be the champion for all women because the government shouldn't have decisions over your body. And I said, well, that's nice. Where was that sentiment during the COVID lockdowns?
Oh, geez.
Mandatory vaccinations. Where was that sentiment?
Yes.
Excuse me. They talk out of both sides of their mouths. So Ms. Shanahan has the right message. It is a very, very good message. It's thoughtful. It's deep. And I agree with it.
Yeah. I think, you know, for Biden's, I think Biden getting another term in the White House is an opportunity for everyone who works with Biden to be running the country instead of him.
I think that's already going on.
Right. So I think it's like, I would like Wednesday. Where can I sign up? So you know, you get Wednesday lunchtime and then I get to run prime time and then, sweeps month. I'm going to do that. That's what it feels. The weekend, I did have a friend create like the whole Weekend at Bernie's thing, except it's Biden being held up. Like that's the ultimate analogy of what it thinks like to me.
Yeah.
I've not yet. I have the bit of like, you know, who do you want to vote for in 2024? It's either like, you know, you got a criminal or a dead guy. So, you know, which way do you want to play it? So it's
American politics.
Yeah.
And where that's we are right
John,
now.
And that's why John Stewart came back to The Daily Show.
Yeah. Well, we need to bring humor back again in general.
Right. Right. We need more radical left Republican dads.
Exactly. See, you've got it right.
Far right liberal moms.
Ugh, go figure.
To balance each other out.
Uh-huh.
I guess it's good to have balance. Because I guess, you know, you get extreme on the other side. Well, I didn't even know there was like an Alabama law about like IVFs are okay or like embryos cannot be.
Yeah, I'm somebody uninformed. Said that an embryo is a living thing, which
well, not from doing IVF, not after several days, I've learned. But
Yeah.
But when they stick, it's good. So that was like our second one came that way. So it was like our last chance.
Wow.
So that's why it was so I feel like that should be, you know, if it's like reproductive rights. That's part of the package.
That is what a reproductive right is, right?
Right. Because it actually is reproducing. Yeah. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
Good. So I don't think this will get too many strikes on TikTok or flagged by YouTube. We can
cut all that out. Yeah.
I'll see what ads I'm not eligible for now because of our discussion issues. God. Or I'll just give this one away for free.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll cut it up. We'll see what they give us. You know, Anyway, I'm going to let you get back to your busy day because I don't want to.
All right, my friend.
You've been very generous with your time, and I'm super appreciative of this. And you should read CaliforniaGlobe.com is where it's at. Katie Grimes, no relation to the wrestler Cameron Grimes. And who was the character on The Simpsons? There was someone Grimes on The Simpsons. I don't remember. I think it was
I don't either. I every now and then I see the name somewhere. There was a Grimes in A Christmas Vacation also.
Okay. So hopefully you'll see them at the reunion.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Thanks for letting me make it awkward. And, we'll circle back and we'll share this with the world.
You bet. Thank you, Evan. It's delightful.
All right. I want to thank Katie Grimes for coming on the podcast. Now she can do more important things like running an entire newspaper. Good to spend her break with her. And we are in the second, I guess, 150 Facebook friends I am going to be interviewing, because now 150 down and 4,500 to go. So the journey continues. See you next time. Stay awkward, because you know I will.
Thanks for listening. Go to awkwardwithevan.com to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast. Now for Evan's mom to pick out his clothes for tomorrow. See you next time on Socially Awkward with Evan Wexel.
Wexel.